I'm still seeking the Lord, and I'm still waiting on the Lord, and I'm still waiting to hear some things. The Lord told me that 2014 was going to be a year of change, and the change is not only going to take place in the house of God, the change is going to take place around the entire world. There's change that's coming to the nations. There's change that's coming to the world. And God wants this church to change. He wants us to change our minds, possibly change our manners, and maybe to change some of our methods so that we'll be able to reach this lost generation and to reach the next generation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So God has a plan for all lives, and He is long-suffering. He is long-suffering. And I don't know where you've been, what you've done, what you're into, whatever. This message is going to a corporate body. This isn't going to any individual. If the Holy Spirit steps on your toes, talk to God about it, okay? We're speaking corporately to the body. We're not speaking to any individual, any single person. This is about the church. This is about the church and the state of the church, as Jesus said, would take place at the end of time. And I believe we're in the last days. Amen? In other words, we're closer to His return than we were yesterday. By all the signs and the word, He could return in a moment. And He says He'll come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And that's pretty quick. So when I was looking at this and I was seeking the Lord for guidance and direction, I was looking at the Passover. And the Passover is when they marked the post in the Old Testament, and when they were in Egypt and the angel of death passed over them. And there was a celebration. It was called the Feast of Weeks. It was called Pentecost. It was 7 weeks after that there was a Feast of Weeks, and they celebrated what took place on the Passover and the Passover feast. And as I was praying, the Lord, this came into my spirit and came into my heart, a fast of weeks. I said, what? He said, a fast of weeks. And just as there's 7 weeks, and then the day of Pentecost come, which was really the birth of the church, that the Lord gave me instructions about a fast of weeks. And as I was seeking Him of what the church should look like, He took me to Revelations. And what we should be praying during this fast is according to the counsel of God. You know, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changes not, He is writing to the church yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, you know, when we open the book of Revelations, Revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, or as unveiling or an uncovering. That so many times people stay away from the book of Revelations. They study Genesis through Jude, and they leave Revelations alone. But Revelations is one of the most powerful books in the entire Bible. Amen? Amen? It's one of the most powerful books. And you know, even when John the Revelator begins writing it in chapter 1, he talks about blessed is he that reads it, blessed is he that hears it, and blessed is he that keeps it. There's a threefold blessing. Amen? And John the Revelator, in the end of Revelations chapter 1, verse number 19, he says, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In other words, he's given us an understanding. He's telling us the seven stars are the angels of the churches. The seven candlesticks are the churches. In other words, he's speaking, going to speak corporately to the church. He's going to speak about to the assembly. Matter of fact, when he says unto the angel of the church, that word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means assembly or gathering. Individually, we are the church, but when we gather together, he's going to speak to us corporately as a body. So as we're looking at this word today, God is going to speak to us corporately as a body. And what this has to do with is not only Greatest Freedom Ministries, but the church worldwide. But the church worldwide. And, you know, he said unto the angel of the church. Now, if you study that word angel, it comes from the Greek word angelos, which means a messenger. By implication, a pastor. By someone that's sharing you the light of what God is showing. So as we're showing that, it says, and we know that God gives his angels charge over us. And I know that God has angels over the ministry in the church. I know we have a host of angels that are encamped about this ministry. I saw them one time. You know, I saw the angels that were guarding and that were watching over. So each of us have angels that guard over us. So I don't want to take this out of context or confuse anyone. But what he is saying is he is sending a message to be heard to the church, to the candlestick. In other words, someone standing up and bringing what God has to say. Amen? And when the word comes forth, you align it with Scripture. Scripture will interpret Scripture. Amen? Line upon line, here a little, there a little, the Bible says. Precept upon precept. And so let's start with Revelations chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll get into what the Lord wants to say to us today. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to focus your attention today on our first week of corporate fast, that we're proclaiming a fast. Amen. What you fast again is between you and the Lord. I'm praying that you'll join with me in praying for Greatest Freedom Ministries in the church worldwide. But we're going to pray according to the seven churches and what the Lord has to say. I believe seven is complete, it's full, and it's seven facets of the church. And we could say this is this church over there and this is church over there. But if you read it, every part of it's in every church. Amen? So as we're looking at this, let's focus our attention today for the message to verse number 5. That says, remember therefore from whence thou art falling and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Today, the title of this morning's message is A Revelation of Love. A deeper revelation of love. Amen? A deeper revelation of love. When God is speaking to the church of Ephesus, he's talking to an apostolic church. He's speaking to a planting church. And so four things he says in this text today. He said, remember, return, repent, or he'll remove. Now, you know, when I look at this and I look at the seven churches that he writes in Revelations 2 and 3, chapter 2 and chapter 3. He says, the first one he says, repent. The second one he says, be faithful. The third one he says, repent. The fourth one he says, be faithful. The fifth one he says, repent. The sixth one he says, be faithful. And the seventh one he says, repent. So the direction and guidance is repent, faithful. Repent, be faithful. Repent, be faithful. In other words, we want to turn to God with our whole hearts. You know, when he says in the scripture text that thou hast left your first love, it means that you still had love. He said that the love was still there, but there wasn't fervent love. Amen? We're to fervently love our brother. We're to fervently love God. We're to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, the Bible says. And we're to love one another. You know, so as he's speaking to us, he's saying for the church to return to their first love, that first thing, that fervent love. Amen. And as we're praying and as we're fasting, we're asking God to show us in every ministry that's involved, the greatest freedom ministries in the church worldwide, how we can love into a deeper level. How we can minister and love others more. Amen. Amen. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. If you lift the word with me together, and we'll make a declaration in the house today. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My heart is open. My ears are listening. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me today through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. And we're grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. As I just heard each and every one say that their hearts are open and their ears are open to the preaching and teaching of your word, I thank you that everyone in the house is open-minded and heart-minded to hear from you today. So, Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak through me today. Speak to each individual that's gathered together in this house, Father God. May the words that go forth out of my mouth be edifying. May they exhort the hearer and may they bring comfort to everyone gathered together today. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and all the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, in the New Testament, as we're reading the New Testament, except for the Gospels, it's all about letters. Letters that were written. And you know, when I was thinking about that, I was reminded when I first met my wife, and I fell in love with my darling wife about approximately 37 years ago. And when I fell in love with her, we were kind of separated because I was still in the Navy. And when I received a letter from her, when I received a love letter from her, man, I it was dear to me. In other words, when I opened that letter, I read it, but I just didn't read it one time. I kept reading that letter over and over and over, and I would hear her heart speaking on paper. And that's what Jesus is doing in these letters that he's writing to the churches. This is a love letter to the church. God is love. Amen. So as he's writing to you and I, it's in love. Sometimes when people speak, it may sound like it's in anger or their voice or their manners, but God is love. So as his word's going forth, I want you to understand when somebody loves someone and they see them going the wrong direction, love will kind of help them change direction. You know, love won't say, oh, let them go ahead and down the ditch, you'll learn, you know. Oh, they're hanging off the building. We'll let them drop. They'll learn from their broken legs. You know, God isn't like that. God loves you and I so much that he wrote a letter to you and I, to these letters that are written to the churches. This is a letter written to you and I by Christ himself. Amen. That the lover of our soul is writing us a letter. Amen. You know, and the first thing he just says in verse 5 is just plain remember. Remember. Amen? Remember. In other words, sometimes he asks us to use our memory. Amen? Sometimes he wants us just to think back. He don't want us to live in the past, but sometimes we're going to reflect back. He says, remember. Remember. You know, and when I was looking at that, Jesus is writing to the church. This church, Ephesus, is led by Timothy at this time. Timothy is a student of Paul. John the Revelator goes to the church, and he's actually under Timothy. Before he was at Patmos, and after Patmos, he was at Ephesus. Amen? And he sat under Timothy. Amen? So as he's writing this letter, he's saying, remember, you know, Jesus said, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a helper, and he will bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And when I was looking about remembering, the Lord took me to Matthew 24. So turn with me to Matthew 24 for a moment. When you get there, say amen. We want to see what Jesus is saying. As the pastor is speaking, he's just speaking what Jesus said. Amen? Verse number 10 says, he says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Understand with me, it's not over until it is over. Jesus was warning his apostles. He was warning his disciples of things that were coming. And he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold. The love of many would wax cold towards God. The love of many would wax cold towards one another. You know, love the Lord God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember what Jesus is saying? He is saying, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity it means transgression, unlawfulness, unrighteousness. Amen. He is saying, because sin in this world and iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Their hearts will change. They'll be transformed. They won't serve God in the way they once did. They won't love one another like they once did. And that's when God is speaking to him. He just tells us to remember. Remember. You know, when I remember, when I go back to remember, I go back, and you know I've said before, but I always go back there because that's where I remember. I go back to October the 12th, 1997, in the bedroom of my home when the Lord came in the room and delivered me from my crack addiction. When he came in the room, I wasn't looking for God. He was looking for me. And when he called me, I answered him. And he came into my life and set me free. So every time I start wandering off, God takes me back to that moment when he set me free. When he came into my heart, there was so much joy that filled my heart and my soul. And so many times we just have to remember from whence. Remember. Amen. I used to listen to, my sister knows, I used to listen to Ron Canole all the time. And I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and I know his eye is on me. Hallelujah. And when God sets you free from something, you can't help but worship him. You can't help but praise God. You can't help but give him glory, give him honor, to exalt his name. You know, and so many times when we get so caught up in the things of church, we forget our first love. So many times we get so caught up in tradition and religion, we miss the whole purpose of why we're gathered together. We're gathered together to love one another and love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And there's nothing else that matters but loving one another and loving God. And he said, if you love God and love others, you'll fulfill all the commandments. Amen. They're all hanging in those two. Amen. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie to them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to have adultery against them. If you love one another, you're not going to commit sin. Amen. Paul talks about that. Turn with me to Romans 6 a moment. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is, calm down. Is that possible? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. love me anyway. Amen. Amen. You know, when Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:18, he says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Whatever you yield to, you're a servant of. All right? He says, I speak on after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you became the servants to God. And you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That word death comes from the Greek word thanatos. It means to be separated from God. But the gift of God. He says, in other words, all he's saying to you and I is whatever we yield to, we become servant to. If we yield to God, we become servants to God. If we yield to this world, we become servants of this world. God, Jesus said, you can't serve God in mammon, or you can't serve God in this world in Luke 16:13. He said, either you love the one and hate the other, or you hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, or you cannot serve God in the things of this world. So he's saying to you and I, whatever we yield to, we're going to become a servant to. So what he's saying to you and I is, would you just yield to me and be servants to righteousness? You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, we're moving forward, church. We're keeping our eyes on the prize. You know, listen to me. We all mess up. This doesn't mean that I'm going to be free of mistake. That doesn't mean I'm going to be free of sin. It's a battle between my spirit man and my flesh man. But what God is saying, if we want revival to come to this nation, if we want revival to come to this church, we got to return to our first love. Amen? We got to return to our first love. That's all he's saying. He says, just remember. Amen? You know, sometimes we get so caught up today. You know, I know that today is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. But God did wonderful things yesterday. We're not living in yesterday, but it doesn't hurt to reflect. Amen? Remember David when he was facing Goliath, how he rehearsed his past victories? Amen? And so many times it's important for you, and Jesus gives us the first instructions to remember. Then he says, secondly, return. Therefore, from whence thou have fallen. Amen? In other words, he says, don't stay there. Return. You know, here's what the adversary does. You mess up. And the devil makes you think that you're not worthy. The truth of the matter was, we never were worthy. There isn't a worthy one in the house. Hello? Amen? It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. The Bible says my righteousness is like filthy rags, but we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is saying, hey, it's okay. Just remember and return. You know, remember and return. Don't remember and run. See, that's what most people do. They remember and they run. Because the devil starts lying to them and telling them that they have no value. And he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. God says, just remember and return. Remember and return. And sometimes when I'm and walking with the Lord, it's almost like I feel like a yo-yo sometimes. I'm remembering, returning. It's almost like coming back and forth until I get a hold of it. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I'm a slow study. All right, I normally have to learn the hard way. Amen? Amen. Lord, I wish I could learn the easy way. Amen? Amen. I bet you that's only me, right? Amen. You know, the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 35, turn with me there. Jeremiah chapter 35, when you get there, say amen. We're talking about returning. Remember? Return. Remember? Return. Remember? Return. Remember? Return. You know, you say, well, Pastor, why do you keep saying it? Because we're creatures that repetition means something. Sometimes we got to keep hearing something. We got to keep saying something. Sometimes we have to keep saying it to convince ourselves. Hello? Before we can convince anybody else, we got to convince ourselves. So he is saying to us, remember, return. Remember, return. Remember, return. And Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 15, he said, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings. And go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. In other words, remember, it's not remember and run. Tell your neighbor, it's not remember and run. It's remember and return. You know, in other words, it's easy to run. You know, that it's easy to take the easy way out. Amen. But God says, remember and return. And you know, he says in Hosea chapter 6, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. He says in Hosea 6, 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he have torn and he will heal us, and he have smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain on the earth. In other words, there's going to come a refreshing in your heart when you remember and you return. Amen. Just as we know that the sun's going to rise in the morning and it's going to set in the evening, so is true out of every word that God says. Amen. As sure as the sun comes up and goes down, his word will not return unto him void. It'll accomplish everything that he sent it to do. Amen. So remember, we're remembering. Remember from whence thou hast fallen. Then he says, and repent. And do the first works. And, you know, he says, in other words, remember, return, and repent. So turn with me to Joel chapter 2. And this is where we are. And what the Lord has laid on my heart. In Joel chapter 2, verse number 12, the word of God says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repent of him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm blowing the trumpet here for Greatest Freedom Ministries to proclaim a fast for the church. Not only Greatest Freedom Ministry, but the church worldwide. According to God's word. He said, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. That sounds for the little ones to the old ones. Let the bridegroom go forth from the chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give thy heritage to reproach, and give not thy heritage to reproach, for that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. You know what this speaks of? Blessing. In other words, when we remember, when we return, and when we repent, we evoke a blessing on God. You know, some people have said 2014, 14 being two sevens being the year of plenty. Amen. In other words, there's plenty coming to the house of God when we turn. God wants to bless his people. He wants to bless your health. He wants to bless your wealth. He wants you to be a blessing. Amen. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. Amen. And when he talks about pouring out portions, this speaks of a double portion of blessing. I don't know about you. Can anybody use a double portion of blessing? Amen. Hallelujah. Can anybody use a double portion of blessing? Come on now. Amen. What is he saying to you and I? He is saying, hey, and as we're fasting for the body of Christ worldwide, that we're remembering, that we're returning, that we're repenting so that he won't remove. Man, when I looked at them, remove, that's a scary thing. You know, when he says that I come quickly, you know, and he says, I'll remove thy candlestick. Now, if you look at the Old Testament and you look at the tabernacle, the candle, it was an oil pipe that had oil, and it had seven pipes hanging from it, which the oil was on fire and it lit. And to remove the candlestick doesn't mean that he's going to take the candle out because it's not separated from the body. But what he might do is it represents his presence, the weighty presence of God. I don't know about you, but I long to be in the weighty presence of God. You know what? I need the weighty presence of God. Amen? I need that in my life. And he said in Revelation chapter 5, he said, I will come quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Repent. Everybody knows in here, what's repent? In the Greek. For me to know ya. It's metanoia, but we say for me to know ya, I got to change my mind. I got to change my heart. I got to change my ways. You know? And what happens is what the Lord was showing me in Hosea chapter 9, verse 17, when his presence leaves. You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 51, Lord, cast me not away. Take not thy presence away from me. And he said in verse 17, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. And they shall be wanderers among the nations. You know, I really believe in the last days and the days that we're in right now, there's so many people that are wandering. They're wanderers. They don't have a home. They don't have a place to lay their hat. And I'm talking about in the house of God. They're just wandering. They're just wandering. I read this story one time about this wanderer, this nomad. And this nomad was in the wilderness, and he was hungry, and he had a bag of dates. And this bag of dates, it was dark, and he reached his hand in the bag, and he felt something crawling in there, and he had a fire and lit the fire and saw that the bag of dates was filled with worms. The worms had filled the bag of dates. And what he did is he was hungry, so he blew out the light and ate the dates anyway. And so many times that's what happens when God shines his light on darkness and reveals the grossness of it. A lot of times people want to blow out the light versus give heed to what God is saying. Amen? You know, and what he is saying, and what the Lord is speaking to my heart about is again in this fast of weeks and closing today, that will follow the first week in your bulletin. In everyone's bulletin, there's a Matthew Henry commentary on Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. It talks about the state of the church. It talks about the what the Lord says about it. And this is the direction which I'm asking you to join with me and pray towards in the days to come. Starting tomorrow, a fast to start tomorrow. And listen to me. What you fast is between you and God. It should be something that takes your time, that you can replace it with prayer, that feeds your flesh. And it's not fasting your job or fasting your family. All right. Amen. It's fasting something, and the Lord showed me what I need to fast, and something that's coming between me and Him, that I need to give this thing up so that I can get a closer and get keened in to hear what God has to say. Amen. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I through His Word? He is saying, hey, let us return to the Lord. Amen. Don't play that yet. Just one moment. So He is saying that for us to remember, to return. He's telling us to repent. And praise God. I don't know about you. The first death is hard on many people, but nobody wants to go through the second death. That's continually dying. Amen? That's a continual death. And I don't believe any of us want to be there. So today, in closing, what is God saying to you? He's saying, hey, return to me. Come to me with your whole heart. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned, I've sinned, every last one of us have sinned. The problem with our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loves you, loves me. He loves all of us so much. He loves you and I so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. What Jesus did is He died on the cross, rose from the grave, paid the penalty for our sins, and purchased us a place in heaven. The problem, we like sheep have all gone astray, do each your own way, and the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. But this gift is received one way, and that's by faith, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it draws you and I from our simple nature to God. And if that makes sense to you, God is offering that gift to whosoever will. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here today to minister to every heart and every life that's each one that's gathered here. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or one time you knew him but you're not in the place you need to be, and you would like to just surrender your life to him today, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is that anybody at all? I don't want to ever close a service without giving an opportunity for someone to come to Jesus. Anybody at all? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the searcher of every heart in the room. Now you've called for us to proclaim a fast, to blow the trumpet. So, Lord, as we listen to the words of this song, Father God, may it minister to every heart and life of everyone that's gathered here today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of heart, we consecrate our lives, singing, come, come, let us return to the Lord. Oh, come, come, let us return to the Lord. Come, come, let us return to the Lord. In brokenness of heart, we consecrate our lives, singing. With a rending of the heart, with Return to the Lord. Come, come, let us return to the Lord. In brokenness of heart, we consecrate our lives, saying, come, come, let us return to the Lord. With a rending, with a bowing of a knee, Lord, we are returning. With a prayer and with a fast, with a song in minor key, Lord, we are repenting. Even now, with all of our hearts, for you may turn, you may leave a blessing behind. Oh, come, come, let us return to the Lord. People, come, come, let us return to the Lord. In brokenness of heart, we consecrate our lives, singing, come, let us return.
Now, in closing today, church, who will stand with me and say, hey, Pastor, I'm going to join you in this fast? If you will, just stand. If you're going to join me in fasting, whatever God leads you to fast in prayer, then I just ask for you to join me. Just stand, and we're going to stand together. You know, we're going to stand together for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in joy and righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. God wants to do some great and mighty things in our nation and our world, and He wants the church to arise. Amen. He wants the church to arise. Let God arise and let the enemy be scattered. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to take that insert that's in your bulletin, and this week, that's what we're praying. We're praying for the church and hope. And if the Lord speaks to you, so be it. The Lord speaks to me, so be it. There's all kinds of things God wants to change in me. Fast, girls. Hallelujah.
Surely as the rising sun, surely as the rising
hallelujah.
Sun.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we call ourselves to come. Come, come, let us return to come, come, let us return to the Lord. In brokenness of heart, consecrate our lives, singing, come, come, let us return to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hear us crying out to you.
Father, that's our heart today. Can we lift our hands in the congregation today? Father, that's our heart today, Father God. To return to you with our whole hearts, Father God. To return to you with fasting and weeping and mourning.
Come.
Not only for our own souls, but for the souls of those that are lost, Father God. For your church, Father God. Father God, may your light just so shine in this world in such a fervent way, Father God. May we return to our first love. May we return to our first love, Father God. May we have love and compassion for one another. May we feel what they feel. May we see what they go through. May we suffer with them when they suffer. May we rejoice with them when they rejoice, Father God. Oh Lord, rend our hearts, Father God. Rend our hearts, Father God, as we follow on to know you. As you said in Joel, your way has been prepared as the morning. You'll come as the early and the latter rain. And I pray that early and latter rain pours and refreshes every soul in the house. And Lord, as you give them revelation and understanding, Father God, may they not keep it to themselves, but may they bring it into the house. May they bring their gifts in. May they bring the blessings in. May they bring the fullness of God, because you called each and every one. You called us by name. Before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, you knew us by name. So Lord, we rejoice in you. We thank you, Father God, for what you're starting this moment, Father God. And we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.